You have the packet?
I have the electronic copy for the board members in front of me.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to call the Board of Directors meeting to order for Ruby Star Air Park Property Owners Association. It is July 18th at 4 p.m. We are in Jerry Haynes' hangar. Thank you again, Jerry, for hosting us. This is lovely. We have a nice breeze going through the room. So for everyone's
really
information,
nice,
yeah, papers are flying everywhere. We had a mix-up with the conference call access, well, the conference call number, and so I apologize for that. Come on in, Holly.
Hi.
So hopefully, I sent the updated number out to a few folks. Hopefully, they got it.
Thank
so
you.
We're going to go ahead and get started. I've already called the meeting to order. We have Jerry Hain, Wendy Magers, Pete Stockstill, John Thompson, Holly Smith.
Bennett Smith.
And Teresa Williams are here. And we have Ken Spaulding on the phone. We have four directors in present, and so we have a quorum. Is there anybody else on the phone? Okay. Are there any comments from association members subject to the three-minute limit? And if you'd like to comment later during any of the agenda topics, we will definitely offer you time there.
In the treasury area.
All right, next on the agenda is the review and approval of the May 16th, 2017 board minutes. They have been circulated for review and are attached in the board packet here. I move that we approve the minutes as written.
A second.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ken?
Aye.
Okay. Motion
aye.
Carries. Great. Thank you. Okay. So then we'll move to the treasurer's report.
Can I ask a question about why they can't be approved by email and sent out earlier? Like, we always used to have them out by 2 weeks. And we sent them around by email.
Mm-hmm. We're putting the recordings out right away, so everybody who really wants to know can get in and listen to that.
Okay.
You know, from when you were on the board, Holly, what I found is it took us almost as long as to the next meeting. Now, when we miss a meeting, like we just did in June, that
now
may
I'm
make more sense.
Yeah, I'm talking like before you, when we all took turns writing up the...
I don't know. It just seems a lot of extra work, and
okay.
I'm not sure it adds that much benefit. No. That's my opinion. Any
okay.
further comment from...
I probably asked that question before. So.
Yeah. All right. Treasurer's report.
I'm going to take
it away.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert.
No problem.
As of June 30th, we have $35,000 in the operating account and $24,600 in the reserve account. As far as assessments, our revenue year-to-date is $2,600 above what we budgeted. Some of that is because prepaids came in a little bit early. We've been doing a good job as far as collections go. For general administrative, we have a $3,200 positive variance. We are below general administrative. $2,600 of that is attorney's fees. We are incurring far less attorney's fees this year than we had last year and what we had budgeted, primarily as a result of our change of attorneys.
Well, so I'll comment. We haven't hit the bills for the CCNR reviews and so on. So.
You'll find those to be much different from Phil than...
Yeah, I hope so.
As far as air park expenses themselves, we have a negative variance in landscaping. That's a timing difference. That we think will even out in the year. We went through our weeding extravaganza. That's fully completed now. So Year-to-date, we are just right around $4,000 for landscape. We had budgeted
$4,800. Do you have an extra copy that... Or maybe two copies of that?
For the financial statements?
Yeah.
I can't get them out until they're ratified by the board.
But we can, we're reviewing them here. I kind of agree. Why,
yeah.
Why wouldn't we just... I'm fine giving...
Yeah.
Is there some law against that?
But they're just typically not distributed until they're ratified by the board.
Oh,
so.
So if we find problems, it doesn't cause
more
problems.
I know is that we always provided the,
yeah.
the treasury information for the attendees to look at while they were being talked about.
I think that makes sense.
Does
anyone have a problem
never
with
make
me?
Mistakes.
Oh, okay.
No, we don't.
Does anybody mind if I hand a copy? Because I've looked at them already, so.
We,
the thing is that John makes the board packet, and there is stuff for the closed session as part of the package, so I don't want to give you the whole package.
Right.
But I think that's okay, right?
Just what he's reading for the treasurer's report.
And I think, unless we find some reason not to, maybe having a couple, you know, one at least one copy available for miscellaneous.
Sure.
Here. Not emailed out.
Not emailed out. No, I don't want them emailed out because that's, I agree, that would be a problem, but... Okay. Continue on.
Well, that concludes my financial report.
Did we
would you like me to start from the beginning again?
No. Did we have anything...
We just want to make sure that we're aware, cognizant that the... The note is payable in September, so that's coming due.
Yes.
And that'll come out of the reserve fund. So we may want to consider after the full third quarter amounts are collected whether we can transfer any additional amounts from the operating to the reserve account to bolster the reserves to set us up for the road repairs, which will come out of the reserve account, as well as the $15,000 note payable, note payment installment.
Okay, and
so we'll talk
we also
about
have
that.
Property taxes coming up.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be October.
Yeah. Maybe I'll say this now. So I'm starting to be thinking about these things because I'm actually going on a long trip, and so I'll probably be gone for 2 months. So we'll have to figure out how we want to. Let's address that on new. That'll be new business. That's the proper way to. Vacation. Okay.
So, any questions on the June 30 financials?
I don't have any.
Okay.
Motion to accept the financials.
I
move to accept the financials.
That's the word I was looking for. I move to accept the financial statements as read and written.
Any further discussion? Oh wait, I second.
Any further discussion?
Right. All right. All in favor?
Yes, all in favor. Say aye.
Aye.
You can make the motion, but I...
You can do
I
that?
Actually, yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye. Ken.
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Did we... Did we go over the board minutes and ratify those?
We did.
And who made the motion to approve?
I did. And
I seconded.
And it was unanimous. Okay.
Okay, housekeeping. Do you mind if I...
I wanted to ask a question about the treasurer's report. I just realized that we're not getting the year-to-date budget... The actual current period variance, year-to-date budget variance, yearly budget. So I thought that had come
there's
out.
Something similar in that what I just handed you.
It's also on the website.
The website has the year-to-date figures because I went back and there
it's
were.
Yes.
Here.
It's that page.
Did we get that?
Yes, you did.
This is operating fund. No, we didn't get that page. and it's not being included in the minutes.
Wait.
Here are the five pages, and there's nothing like what you're showing me.
We have the same paper that was...
So take a look.
That's the reserve fund. That's the operating fund.
This
and that's it.
Is this.
For
and
the
then the next page, yes, is the reserve. That's it.
And this is being sent out.
Yes, it is.
It's in the financial document that gets posted.
It's so hard to read up here, I need to say.
Okay, let's continue.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, so John, you were talking housekeeping.
Housekeeping to first ratify an email motion that was made in June 13, 2017 that was specifically allocate $10,000 of reserve monies to install upgrade riprap as defined in a proposal by GMO. Allocate up to $2,000 of funding for crack repairs on runway. And remove pipes on lost silver to allow upstream material to start clearing out. So will the board may have a motion to ratify those, that email motion?
So I move to ratify the email motion that was sent out on June 13th as defined.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So ratified. And then the second matter was something Holly was kind enough to point out, and that is that we made a decision in a closed session in the January meeting to switch our legal counsel from Carolyn Goldschmidt to Brown and Olcott. And so she quite properly pointed out that that should be ratified in an open meeting. So thank you very much.
I didn't make a suggestion to correct. I just...
She pointed out that the vote should have occurred in an open meeting, and that was absolutely correct. So I move to ratify the decision to move to Brown and Olcott as a new legal representation for Ruby Star. So this is a move to ratify the previous decision we already made.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Ken, did you follow all that?
Yep.
Thank you. The motion carries.
Ken, how is the audio there from us?
Pretty good.
Okay, so you can hear the others in the back of the room?
I can hear them.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
So that concludes the housekeeping.
Okay, so the next item is CCNR revision update. Jerry, you want to go ahead and talk to that?
Oh, we're pounding through that one. I believe we're close to having the main document done. We still need to put in references for where we're making changes in the main document to comply with county and state rules.
So where we're changing things to comply with statutes, we want to identify that so people know. This was suggested by Teresa, actually.
Yeah.
So that people know why we're making a change. When this seems like more legalese sometimes.
Then we are still working on individual changes in addition to just making the legal changes. Mm-hmm. As separate items, and we've identified four that we've written up. There were two more that were done at the last meeting that were identified. Is that right?
There was one more, I believe.
Was it one more?
Yeah.
Okay. That was from
Ted
on the phone. Okay. So as soon as Ted gets some of that material back to us, I'll see if I can get it into the format with the others, and then we'll take that to the attorneys. We've already...
I'm waiting for some feedback from him still on some of the
sure,
questions
of
we had.
Here?
So Alan Williams has just joined us. So we need to... There's cleanup. mainly,
it's mostly
putting the document into a format that is easily digestible by people who haven't lived and breathed it.
Yes.
And
so
then,
Once we've got that done, then we're going to call a town hall meeting. It'll be audio for most people, same way we're doing for the meetings here. And once the town hall is over,
we're not going to set up the meeting until we're all done with making the changes, but I truly believe we need to set the date like right now so that everybody has it, and then we'll get the materials. That'll give us a deadline to get the materials out, too.
Giving us a deadline?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Manager here.
Yeah, okay. So, manager, what's our deadline?
Oh, I haven't. I need to look at the calendar and see what's good.
Okay, so you're going to look at the calendar and see when you're gone for that 2 month period.
Yeah, I won't
right
be here, but I wanted to coordinate with you and the rest of the committee members and make sure they are happy with the date, and then we'll send it out to everybody.
Okay, that actually sounds good. We really should give ourselves a deadline, as in me.
Well,
it's
everybody.
Everybody, but I need to make sure everything is
together
in a package ready to go out. So we'll figure that out offline and go ahead and set that, and then make sure we have everything ready to go. And if we are not ready to go, we will go with what we have. Because we're not going to be putting this off anymore.
It's never going to be perfect. So at some point, good enough is
got
to work. You know?
Yes.
At least for the basic document, right?
Definitely, we've got to get that done. And any of the issues, we'd like to get that incorporated into the basic document all at once, so we don't have five changes like we've got right now. So it makes it easy to read again.
That'll all be done through the committee. Don't worry.
Right. So, any comments on CCNRs?
Just let me comment that I also last week met with the lawyer to go through where we were with the changes and get his feedback. And I don't want to go through it all here.
We've got several different methods that we can submit the CCNR changes to the group, and they're all fine. The way I was expecting to do it works for him. The way you want to do it works for him as well. There's just a lot of different methods, and they're all good. So whatever the consensus is from our group, the CCNR group, that's how we're going to put it out. Okay, that's all I have on CCNR update.
Is there anything I could put in the minutes that would clarify?
We are
What's the next action item, and that is to set a date to send.
Set a date for the town hall meeting.
I would say it's nearing completion.
It's very near completion. We need to set a town hall date so we can let everyone understand exactly what we're trying to do before and get a...
And the lawyer will be present so that questions can be asked.
Right. And then we can set up a date for actually submitting the documents out
for vote,
and we'll know from a consensus of... Actually, it should be... In the town hall meeting, it should be where we decide how we're going to submit it.
Well, I think we should just tell people how we're going to submit it, though.
But they're going to see it.
Yeah.
They're going to see it before the town hall. We'll email it out to everyone.
Yeah.
That way they can see what we're going to discuss at the town hall, talk about it, make decisions on when we're going to submit it out. If everybody that contributes to the town hall is happy with the basic document and how we're going to do the individual changes, then we'll probably go ahead and get it out very quick I'd like to see what we've got out there and get voted on so we can just get this thing done.
Any idea when the town hall dig might be?
You're new.
I'm being recorded. I know I'm being recorded. It doesn't matter. Being honest. I don't have a date.
It's early September, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like the second week in September or something like that.
That's going to be the town hall.
Town hall. We have to have everything done prior to that, ready to go out.
I was going to circulate a proposed date to the committee members, make sure everybody's available for the town hall, and then sometime around the 1st of...
Yeah.
But I don't want to go too far into September.
Basically the beginning of September, because I just want to have this last month and a half. Basically 1 month is all we've got to finish up in the citations in the main document and finish deciding how we want to submit the individual changes. Get it in that format, get them all in that format and PDF so we can send it out as a package. So it would probably go out in two PDFs, one for the main document and another PDF with all the individual changes that we want. Or we can do a PDF for each individual change. We'll figure that out at the meeting. That way it's easier for people to understand where the cutoff is between one change and the next change.
Okay.
So that's probably what we'll do.
Question for you.
Go ahead.
The annual meeting, does it make sense to try and piggyback the final vote with
when
the annual
that?
Meeting?
Well, it's in October.
It's supposed to be in October, but you can defer that a month to with that last year.
That would make sense to me. Earlier is better. Get it done.
I think the first Wednesday of October is too aggressive, though. So when we get to the annual meeting, we might want to consider pushing that back to the first week of November.
So the final,
it's defined in our bylaws?
Yeah.
So we can modify it, but I would prefer not to, because we also have to do an election that gets keyed off of that.
Right.
So.
All right.
Usually December falls apart and we don't have a meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
So it might be pressing, pushing it to get it done by then, but we're going to get it done by then.
But you're saying that you'll do the final vote in the annual meeting?
We will need to also send out paper ballots
because
not everybody comes to the annual meeting.
So since we're sending out ballots for the annual meeting, maybe we can piggyback that mailing for the CCNR.
Well, we don't send out ballots for the annual meeting. There's never ever been anything to vote for.
No, but last year I know we sent out the announcement for the annual meeting by mail because that was felt to be the more right thing to do, which we hadn't been doing. So I think what John is saying is to send that out.
We can
with that.
Stuff the envelope, same envelope, and it'll cost us less money if we have that ready. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
So when we send out the notice for the annual meeting, it will also be the ballots for voting for the CCNRs. That way we're not doubling up on the cost of postage to send all this out to everyone.
We'll figure that out when we see how big the packages are and all that, I think. Yeah. But that's a good thought.
Yeah. It would save us
a few
some money.
Shekels, yeah. Okay.
If we have it together and we can do it, then I'd say we should do it. If we find that we're not going to and it's time to send out for the meeting, then we'll just do it in two pieces.
Yeah, we can make the annual meeting a celebration of the new CCNRs.
Yeah.
I know I'll be celebrating.
Okay.
Right. Road maintenance update. So we did go ahead and get the roof wrap done on four areas in the air park, and I think they look pretty good. They're actually a lot sturdier, not sturdier, bulkier than I had expected. I thought they were going to be narrower and so on. So he did a lot more than I thought he was going to do for the money. And then today, Yeah. Today we did the crack ceiling, and I haven't gone out to look at it yet.
The crack?
On the runway.
Runway. Oh, okay.
The runway was...
He took a good look at it.
Yeah, it was underwater.
Was it?
Well, I looked at it while they were out there doing it. I ran out there once, and it looked like they had gone up one edge and then down the other edge, then up the middle. So they're...
Well, yeah, what I'd asked them is we gave them only a certain number of hours, and so and I wanted to make sure the ends, because that
he
seems...
He was working on the ends.
So I asked him to go from the displaced, what do you call it, the threshold.
Displaced threshold.
Yeah. From the east, go west, and go 3 hours, and then do the same thing from the west and go east. And
see
how, because he was concerned he wouldn't have enough time to do it all.
Well, I know that the 2-4 end, the east end, he worked, he was working on that, and he had one side done, this side done, and he was working up the middle. And I talked to him, and he still had a half an hour left to go.
When I drove out there, they were sitting in their trucks because it was raining.
Oh, no.
2:15, 2:30.
Yeah. At least it wasn't too hot for them.
Do we know how much, will the homeowners know how much that cost was?
Yeah, we approved the motion just a little bit ago.
Okay.
When we were, that was one of those housekeeping things. Well, we allocated up to $2,000 for the crack repairs, but I actually did not. I told him to do a certain number of hours, plus the materials, and I didn't know how much the materials were going to cost, so it'll be around $2,000. So the one thing that we have left that we've been talking about doing this year is doing something about the edges on the south side of the runway where we're getting some undercutting again, and we've gotten the bids. I know how much it's going to cost for GMO. It was over... And he was, like, half of what others were. I don't know if I'm comparing apples to apples.
The AC just went on in my house.
Oh. But anyways, we're trying an experiment. So Carl was going to do something, try to do something with just the backhoe instead of putting this concrete curbing in. And that's to kind of try to put a... We talked about this many years ago about... kind of a shell on the dirt of concrete. And so he was thinking he might be able to do it just with the backhoe and just buying concrete at Home Depot, which would be a much cheaper solution that we could work on over time. So he's got the concrete, but he hasn't done the experiment yet. So so I can't report back, and I'd kind of like to wait on doing the curbing until we find out how that works. Because if that works, then that's something we can just do forever. And the $10,000 for curbing was just to do the bare minimum of length, and over time we're going to end up doing the whole south edge of that runway, I think, unfortunately. So that's where that is. On the mines, I don't have an update. I've pretty much disengaged in trying to use my time for other things, so I don't have any report. I do have for John for you to file this in the archives for Ruby Star. That's a letter we got from them regarding the odor and the study they did.
That went out to everybody.
That went out to every homeowner, yeah. Oh, the one thing I guess I can do an update, and maybe Alan will speak as well, but while I was on vacation, I found out that the next day there was going to be a public hearing on the aquifer protection permit for the expansion. And I was not able to attend, but two of my new buddies from Green Valley were able to attend. The Green Valley Environmental Committee, subcommittee lead went, as well as one of the vice presidents of the council went. And they both spoke and kind of opposed it and said, why are you going through with this when the EPA has said that this is a really, really bad idea that needs study? And...
Yeah. You pretty much said it all.
Yeah.
That was there to oppose, and the meeting was so short, they were afraid to close it so quick, so they took a 15-minute recess just so it wouldn't be so short.
But that's because they didn't notify. I mean, they didn't even notify Bruce Elam, who is right at the base of the mine. So and you know, when I met with Steve Christie, the Pima County Supervisor who's responsible for Green Valley, when I explained the situation to him, his biggest pet peeve was lack of notice on things. Mm-hmm. And so when I did find out about this, I shot him a note and said, here we go again, and he didn't reply to me.
Well, I guess they figure putting it in the Green Valley Green Valley is supposed to let everybody know.
Yeah.
Because it had been posted there.
I understand that, but I don't read the Green Valley News, amazingly.
They did have a sheriff there, just in case it got a little rowdy.
Oh, wow. Should have gone.
Wow. Okay. That's all I have. Common area update, we do have. So previously we'd asked John to look at, can he see any way to get this thing funded or, you know, quick look at business plan.
Well, I just want to do a reality check on it. And, you know, I read the proposal the analysis by Physical Resource Engineering, Inc., and their proposal was for 7 hangars, total investment of just under $250,000, $221,000. Their suggestion was $300 per month per rent per hangar, which, back of the napkin gives about 11.5% return on investment and a simple interest every year. And I just roughed out some numbers on the back of a napkin myself before reading this to see if I could do a reality check, and I came up with something pretty similar. I took a look on the internet and...
How did you
chain
everything?
That's okay.
Gonna have to sign in.
Watch the door. Yeah. Are your dogs?
No, they're all behind. Yeah. He goes over and visits periodically.
Wants to visit the new neighbors.
I know.
So anyway, you know, their analysis and my analysis were close enough where, you know, it's certainly a viable investment opportunity if we can find somebody who's passionate about, this place and building hangars. You know, 12% return is not a bad return. It's an eight-year payback. We just got to find someone who is passionate about it and also believes that the market is there for something like this. You know, I ran my numbers at a 75% occupancy. Physical Resource Engineering ran theirs at 100% occupancy. They did a 20-year lookout with a net present value. That just confuses people more than anything. Investors don't like to look at that anymore. They like simple numbers and simple explanations, and 11.5 to 12% return with a 8 to 10-year payback is something that's simple for them to understand, and I believe for this market as well. The question is whether we can find somebody passionate enough, we can convince them that there's a market for these hangars, and we can convince ourselves that the incremental revenues that we might earn warrants the hassle and pain to do it. So, for example, and these are bare-bone hangars. These are not hangars with utilities. No sewer, no running water. And both my analysis and their analysis. So let's say, we get 8 hangars out there, 2 lessees per hangar. And we charge them, let's say, $250 as an associate membership fee. We were thinking maybe $500, right?
Our current is $400 a year.
So $400, somewhere around there. You know, we're talking membership fees of between $4,000 and $6,000 of incremental revenue. And then let's say there's some runway use fees too. Let's say that's another $1,000. That is the runway use. That's so that's all in.
So all the rent, what you're saying, would go to the investor.
Well, it would go to the investor. It's their investment. Yeah.
And so all we would get is
the associate member fees.
There's also the thought of they need to lease our land.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's
that's land usually how
that has to be in there as well.
Okay. No, I didn't consider that in the numbers, and I did not see that in...
No, because what his analysis was, if we did it and we got a loan...
What do you think those numbers might be? for 8 hangars.
We can get the... We know what... So this is how Ryan Airport does it. We could find that out.
Okay, so there's a comp out there, Ryan Airport.
Yeah.
But didn't Dan's report say a 15-year break even?
That was with us with a big loan. I don't remember, but...
Yeah, it was us
it was.
Doing the whole thing.
Right.
You know, we own it. We finance it.
But that was also an unrealistic 100% occupancy.
100% occupancy at 300 a month. So, you know, I don't know how realistic. You know, right now we're looking for someone who just, you know, it's their hangars. They build them and then we get fees out of it. Plus, now I understand a land lease along with it.
Yeah, for a certain amount of time and then. I don't know how that all works, but...
Yeah, because my initial thoughts is for let's say we get 6,000 incremental revenues just out of the associate membership fees, you know, per year, you know.
So there's that, but then the other thing we've been talking about, for instance, is, like, Pete putting a business out there, or others putting businesses out there if they're aviation-related.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get more traffic here and more people coming who might then... property.
Exactly.
So there's that.
So it's the intangibles.
It's not just, yeah, intangibles.
I do have one question about the hangars. Are you talking about building them in violation of our CCNRs by having metal sides? No, I'm serious. The CCNRs say no metal. So you have to take that into consideration.
Yeah, that was intended for homes, but
yeah, you might want to clarify the CCNRs.
Then I shouldn't have to stucco my hangar.
Right. Well, no, homes and property as opposed to common area.
Well, whatever we do on the runway, there's going to be a lot of people are going to be looking at the stuff on the runway or in the common area. And we're going to have to make sure that architecturally it fits.
Mm-hmm. You just don't want the build out to exceed what the market rate is for a hangar rent.
That's true, but we may end up, you know, looking at that like Jerry says, you know, it's, you know, we can do some metal buildings and stuff like that for the common area, but we're going to make everybody else do stucco. We're going to get some fights on that.
Mm-hmm. Right. In other words, there's intangibles go both ways, functional and dysfunctional.
I guess so. Yeah.
So okay. It's just something
so
else
to really take it to the next step. I'd love some any kind of marketing information anybody has on what the demand for these types of hangars are in this area.
I have 3 people on a list right now who are interested. But one of them, for instance, is he's building a home-built airplane. He could do that in a garage. He doesn't need a whole hangar, that sort of thing.
Once it's done, then he needs it.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to trailer it all the time. He'll, once he finishes building it, he will need a place to put it.
Right. But he thinks it's going to take him a year to build it, you know. It's that
oh, he's
of...
extremely optimistic.
Yeah, actually, he said a year and a half, but for jobs.
Well, I think we achieved the milestone with what I was hoping to do was just take a look at what the engineering firm put together, converted into an investor-owned, investor-revenue stream model, and see if I saw any showstoppers, and I don't see any showstoppers yet. So I'll let you continue forward. Of course, a market analysis, we're only selling 8 of these things, and so it's not like we have a storage facility with 200 that we're looking at, you know, what's the demographics out there that's going to attract. All we need is to say, yeah, we've already got 3 people lined up. You know, we've already got, you know, 3 people ready to sign right now, so we think the demand is pretty good. I mean, we're not talking... Mm-hmm. You know, a venture capital type business here. Yeah.
Ken here. Last year, I think, and the year before, Barry DeSimone did a lot of legwork on contacting various airport managers and made up a overview of the demand and the costing for rents.
Yeah, I saw his numbers.
On internet.
His numbers came out to
okay.
Triple what the engineering firm said as far as what the investment was warranted. So,
or
I think it was in the $700,000 is what he was proposing, some sort of investment. And I don't know. I took a look at it. I read it. If it's got some great marketing stuff in there, I'd love to try and harvest that. But the actual investment and other numbers weren't in line with anything that...
I think what I'm referring to is specifically the demand. How many are on the waiting list at, say, the Tucson International, the Marantas, the...
Yeah, that's the stuff that would be golden. So
Barry has that.
He has that information.
Now, you sent me a very lengthy email from Barry, so maybe I didn't read it close enough. I'll reread it. So maybe there's some great marketing stuff in there.
Okay.
You know, anything I can do that just is passes a red face test saying, well, we would just want you to build them and they will come.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, any kind of meat I can put in there.
Okay.
So for next meeting, I'll put together a formal executive summary, not a business plan, but an executive summary that you can take a look at. And then maybe once we get comments on it, we can start floating it out there.
Good. Wonderful. Okay, anything else on that? Commentary? John?
No.
Next one is yours too, insurance coverage. Thank you for that update.
Well, after several iterations with our insurance agent...
Man, that was painful
watching that. Yeah, that wasn't really...
Same person we had before, she's getting... Well...
So you're changing the...
What we want to do is we want to make sure that anybody who's donating services... are covered, and that anybody who's on a contractor basis is covered, and anybody that's operating the backhoe... And the backhoe operations themselves are covered, and that if there's any businesses being run inside the air park, the association gets coverage from them as well. So those are the four bullet points we hit, and we've got action items for all of them. I filled out an application to cover volunteers for a volunteer accident policy. I'm waiting on more information from the backhoe itself so that we can add that to the liability and property component. And for member businesses, we will be getting the businesses themselves to add us as a named insured, and we've got confirmation that that should be sufficient. So that's what I have in insurance coverage.
How much approximately would it be to cover volunteers?
I haven't gotten those dollars out. But the minimum was, I think it was $300.
A year?
A year. It was nominal.
What? How feasible is it to have signed, like I signed that I exempt you? Or
like a hold harmless.
Right, thing. Exactly, because we all have our own insurance. I have Medicare.
Well, it's more than... It's damages and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, hold
damages to...
Hold harmlesses are not a great iron curtain. You're better off... Well, let's look at the cost of the insurance, then we'll make a decision. If it's something that's nominal, we'll just get it.
And I'm sure if it's property and casualty, it's probably this much deductible, that much deductible. There's probably choices of coverage.
Yeah.
Yes and no. Yes and no. For the volunteers,
well,
it's more like a workers' comp type policy on a claims basis without deductibles. But regardless, I'm guessing it's going to be a nominal amount for the volunteers and a nominal amount to add the backhoe. But it doesn't cost us anything to be named as named insured on the people's policies, and it probably won't cost them anything either. There was a question by Alan about limitations. Should the insurance be bumped at all? And I'm guessing it really doesn't need to be bumped at all. But whatever your existing coverage is probably adequate for the air park too. First thing we want to do is just get on there as a named insured, and then again, right now I'm just waiting for information, waiting for the insurance company to get back to me on the volunteer accident policy and the waiting on information from the backhoe.
Talk to Pete about that. You're probably one of the biggest ones we need to get.
Yeah, named and insured. Yeah, I'm not sure all the businesses that are out here. Yeah, I know each of you have a business.
Yeah, no, we've not spoken about that yet. I mean, I'm looking into, you know, that type of insurance. In fact, I talked to a guy today who, you know, has a business out of Ryan, and he looked at me like a lot.
Insurance?
But, no, not insurance. It was, you know, including like Tucson Airport Authority. You know, they've not even asked him for
really?
That status. He's got the same type of business I have. He's got clients come in to work on airplanes. Airplanes go away.
Uh-huh.
And he says nobody's asked him for that. But, you know, it's all...
So we're still in the investigation.
Right.
What is required and so on.
Yeah, so shopkeeper's insurance right now is running about $4,000 a year for, you know, aviation maintenance stuff. And I'm just trying to think, okay, how much more work do I have to do to get that done?
Yeah, yeah.
And... you know, it's basically going to be a juggling act to see if that's even going to, you know, be necessary, you know, if we continue with our current operation. Although, on the other hand, it looks like every time I turn around, you know, we're being forced to grow. So,
you know, yeah, you guys are doing well.
Yeah, you know, we're going to end up doing more and more, and you know, probably end up hiring temporary workers. Come out, you know, from the college or something like that, just to show up and contract them and stuff like that. So, you know, all of a sudden my insurance needs are going all over the place. So I don't know yet.
So I don't really necessarily want to go through each person's right here, but I was just thinking who all do we need to think about.
Yeah,
so once we get the answers from the insurance, then we can discuss it again, I think.
Yeah, I would love to find some insurance, you know, expert.
Just
look at all this.
You have students come up here?
Mm-hmm. The only students I have come up here are for ground school. Because
yeah,
I can't run flight
come
school.
On the property.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, anybody on the property, period.
Yeah, but that's, you know,
if
for
it's a business.
For, you know, trip and fall type of insurance. You know, your homeowner's.
My homeowner covers that, so I'm not worried about the trip and fall because I'm not flying out of here. If I do fly out of here, it's me flying. I'm not running a flight school out of this place. I may fly out and go over to Ryan and do all the flight school stuff and then fly home.
But you got a business person coming in to do a class here. They run off at the wash area.
Well, they've got
car insurance.
And HOA has insurance. And it is. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, no, nobody.
If you got a customer.
Once he gets off my property, he's no longer a customer. He's just somebody driving.
You don't know a good attorney, do you?
Actually, I know a bunch of them. I used to work for a law firm. Okay, let's.
So
get
we
back
need to
on
get
to
the answers from the insurance people.
Let me know when you get
all the
answers.
Yeah, I'd like to know too.
Yeah. Okay, so did she answer your latest questions?
No, I haven't gotten a response. She's no longer responding to me. It's another agent.
She must have left or something. Anyway.
No, she was still copying and everything.
Okay. All right, next item is road sign project.
We had a project for it, yes.
Yes.
It's been
okay.
They put the pink signs up.
That was Sandy. He did that.
Sandy, yeah. We,
the artwork on those signs are phenomenal.
Yeah, but the interesting is I haven't
posted all those signs
going in the wrong directions now since he put the sign up there.
No,
except
for
one guy
who
was going to cross the runway right there at Sandy's house and caused me to do a go-around because he was too far in. He'd stopped to wait and watch me land, but my wingtip would have taken his window out, so I had to go around.
Yeah, I haven't had anybody go down my driveway to turn around of late, so...
Oh, so as part of all of this, part of the reason we've got people going the wrong way is because Google Maps takes them that way.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. And I've submitted requests for updates twice, and Mike submitted some, and I finally got Google to respond to me on one little piece, so I'm hoping, this was just a couple of days ago, and they fixed one, every piece that's wrong, you have to put a new submittal in, so I have like,
really?
Yeah, six different pieces that I marked, and so they did one of them, so I'm hoping that soon the others will get done.
I know somebody that works at Google, my brother's son. Yeah, so I will ask him if he can please.
At Google Maps? Okay, let's move on. We're starting to get behind here. All right, revisit backhoe rental policy. The background on this is that we've had a request to operate the backhoe, and the policy that had been established many years ago when we first got the policy, I mean the backhoe, was that Carl and Jay were authorized operators, and that if anybody else wanted to operate it, they had to be approved by the board. So we had somebody who came and asked to be approved by the board, and we all ended up feeling like we don't know enough to approve somebody to operate a backhoe, and that we didn't really necessarily want to do that, and then there were other considerations we were tossing around, so we decided that we punted to this. Yeah, we needed to understand more about the insurance and who needed to be on the insurance in order to operate the backhoe, and we ended up finding out that we didn't have enough insurance for backhoe operators to start with, so we're trying to fix that. That's part of what we just talked about. But we also, hold on, I'm going to let the board give their comments, and then I'll open it up as well. There were other considerations, and maybe, Pete, you want to hop in with your concern.
Well, okay, well, I'll start off there. You know, my concern is that backhoe is an air park asset. It's not, in my view, it was there to handle our air park needs, road repairs. If something, somebody basically, drove off a ditch, we can pull them out with it. If somebody, somebody's, wash took out their road or something like that, we can go out there and help them repair it. For instance, I had a sewer pipe plug up, and Carl came over there. Within 15 minutes, he dug it out, and I fixed it, and 10 minutes later, he backfilled it and stuff. I like the fact that the backhoe is here. But I don't like the idea that everybody thinks that the backhoe is here to be able to rent, to build their houses and stuff like that. You know, what if John Michaels decided that he wanted to move that hill? You know, do we let him use our backhoe to move that and wear it out? And so all of a sudden next week, when we go to use it to fix the road, oh, it's broken, we need to take it down and have it serviced or something like that. I would assume that things stay just as pristine as possible. I think it's air park only, or for homeowners. But if you want to use it for a project, I think we should defer that project, used for somebody to go rent the piece of equipment to do that. And just, the backhoe is a finite resource. I mean, it will wear out.
Well, we pay a lot for maintenance, too.
And we barely use it. Imagine what's going to happen if we let everybody start using it to, redo everything in their yard. And then, if you get somebody up there, it's like anything else. If you get three people that operate it, they all operate it probably differently. Some probably are more rough on it than others.
How do you know how well?
Exactly, and it's just
that's where we got stuck last time. Is how do you know? And it's apparently, I don't know much about backhoes, but I do know you can tip them over. You can do crazy things with them.
Yeah, I don't want to say that. Nobody can use it, but I think it's there for emergency use and for air park only use. That was why we had it, and to use it for home construction and stuff like that. Now, you're doing a big project. I think you should basically go out and get another piece of equipment. That's my feeling.
So you're suggesting nobody else uses it unless it's an emergency,
right?
The other option is people can use it for small projects.
Yeah, and if we want to do it for small projects, then we need double the rate on it.
Yeah,
so it will become, because right now it's dirt cheap, and you go, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to use that because it's dirt cheap. But it's wearing out our resource. And it's We need that around here. We don't need it broken.
It came in handy for your emergency.
Yep.
And then Sandy, he used to, one of his tanks floated or something.
Yeah,
that's.
Yeah, and that's
what
it's
for. Use. Yeah,
that's what it's there for.
But so,
level your pad.
Sandy didn't do anything.
Build your pad.
Yeah.
Right.
But Sandy was using it for a lot. I mean, he was using it a lot. And
paying for it?
Oh, yeah, paying for it. But what Pete's brought up is, when you're going to use it for, a week or 2 weeks, or, that's not the use that maybe we want.
Is it the insurance? Is it similar to car insurance? Do they want to know how many hours it's operated? Like they want to know with your car, how many miles do you drive it? Is it the same with
the
insurance?
We don't have the information on the insurance yet.
It's not on the insurance.
That's the major issue I've got.
It's underinsured.
Covering anybody.
It was uninsured.
Not insured.
It's
never been insured.
We don't want anybody, as far as I'm concerned, until we have insurance.
It needs to stay parked. No, it's insured.
As property, but not for liability. I'll let John talk.
Okay.
I don't remember.
No, my perception was it's neither on the property list nor do we have it insured for liability.
So it may have been in the past.
The insurance company had no idea we had one.
In 2014, it was insured.
The same person who you contracted, found Sarah.
Right.
She's the one who said it wasn't insured. So.
I probably can show you where it was insured.
Yeah, maybe that would be helpful.
History doesn't really matter right now.
Now,
we need to go from what we've got forward, and we have no insurance. So right now, I'm saying that we can only allow Carl to operate this for
Jay.
Carl or Jay.
Those were the two.
For our use only, for the air park's use only. And emergencies, but they've got to be the only operators because they're experienced with it, and then we're running out there. It's in the wind. We need to get the insurance coverage. So he's working on that.
Yeah. So the only problem with that is if Carl can't for some reason, Jay's not out here that much. So we haven't run into that problem. So if we run into that problem, we need to consider adding somebody else. But
yeah. So
what I hear right now is there's a motion on the table to restrict the backhoe to air park projects and member emergencies solely operated by Carl and Jay.
Yes.
That's a good motion.
A good motion. Ken, we haven't heard from you.
Bankruptcy, on the Nolan bankruptcy, awarded that backhoe to the Homeowners Association and its all members, managed by the Board of Directors. Just leave that out there for the thought.
I think he's cutting out because of the wind.
Okay.
Hold on, Ken.
Let me just close this door. Besides, this will make it warmer in here.
Can you say that last little bit?
The NOLA bankruptcy court awarded the backhoe and other items to the Homeowners Association, which includes all the property owners. And it should be managed by the Home Association, the Board of Directors. I'm just asking, are we still in compliance with that spirit of that bankruptcy order?
Yeah, that doesn't conflict with what we're voting on right now.
I think it was just for the use.
You're restricting the use to a cherry picking type operation.
Yeah, the board runs the association, so.
I agree.
So the board can set up rules and regulations for the backhoe.
Ken, as a double check, I'll reread the bankruptcy and see if there's anything in there that seems contrary.
I don't believe the association members have any kind of personal property title to that backhoe. I believe the title, the ownership, rests with the association, probably. So I don't believe it conflicts, but we'll confirm that. It's a great point. It's a very valid point.
And you might want to see if they charge more if it's a more open use.
Yeah.
You know, if the premium's going to be higher as opposed to if it's, you know,
if it's dependent on the number. Yeah.
That might have some bearing.
That's a good time. Polly, did you get your comments out?
Well, I believe the way the insurance would work, just let me address your point first before we go to Holly, and that is that if a homeowners association insurance company insures the backhoe, it would be strictly related to association business. So if we were to rent it that out to an association member, that would be outside the scope of association-related matters, I would think.
Which is what we've been doing,
though. Yeah, it's been what we're doing, so we want to make sure that the insurance company understands that we do rent that out to association members. I'll make a note of that, make sure they understand that.
Okay.
But not for them to use it personally.
Not to operate it.
Right, not to operate it.
Well, there you go.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion based on what John said a little while ago. So
at this point, we have a motion on the table to restrict the use of the backhoe to airport projects.
John,
and remember,
what I'd like to do is start it as move to change the official backhoe policy, because that policy is on our website, and I want to make sure we change the policy.
It's not fair to drop dinner.
Sorry, I'm hungry. I move to change the backhoe policy to only allow use of the backhoe for association matters and for member emergencies. Second sentence.
And double the cost. And double the cost.
Oh, okay. Second sentence is that there will be only two authorized operators, which are Carl Taylor and Jay Bennett. And then the third, maybe that's a separate motion.
Okay.
Because the rates aren't the policy.
Right.
I don't have those numbers in front of me as far as what the rates are.
I don't remember. You do the billing, I figured.
Yeah, I don't know them off the top of my head.
Okay, so...
$200 a day.
$200 a day?
I think it's $100 a day.
There's an hourly
rate. Every day for 8 hours.
Yeah, there's an hourly rate on
There's
it.
An hourly rate, and then...
That's okay. I'll look it up for us.
A daily and a
so
weekly.
Okay,
go ahead and
we'll
finish
this
one.
So I just read that... you want to read that motion, John, again? Sorry.
Okay, so change the backhoe policy to restrict the use of the backhoe to airport projects and member emergencies solely operated by Carl Taylor and Jay Bennett.
Okay. So I made the motion. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion on this? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Ken?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. So, motion carries. Next motion. Well, I'm not going to make a motion yet. Jerry's going to read off.
Okay, it's got A through E. The hourly rate is $50 per Hobbs hour. Daily rate is $200 for an 8-hour day. Weekly rate is $800 for a 40-hour week. Operator to be negated, which we're changing, and fuel is $6 a gallon. So what I'm proposing is
we
double the hourly rate, double the daily rate, delete the weekly rate.
Yes.
and leave the fuel the same.
And just in case anybody's wondering, that rate seems really high, but it's diesel that when we need fuel, Carl has to take the cans, run down to Green Valley, get the diesel, and come back. So it actually does cost us a bit to for that.
Can you repeat the first two lines, I think?
First is the hourly rate now is 50, and the daily rate is 200, and I'm proposing doubling those.
That seems really high.
And deleting...
And then after that was the weekly, which you...
The weekly rate is 800 okay. that I suggest we delete.
You know, I don't know, an emergency, is it aftertake?
I mean,
usually not. They've
no. I mean, it's that big of an emergency, maybe you need to go to Plan B.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my intention was, you know, not to, you know, make it cripple you if you needed to use it, but just to discourage, you know, you actually go rent some piece of equipment and stuff like that. You know, if we, I don't have a problem leaving the amount the same as long as we reel it into, you know, just temporary use or short-term use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had Carl over there for 4 hours working in my driveway one day, and mostly because it was cheap. And it was like, wow, I need to have this work done. You know, quite frankly, I should have just gone out and rented my own tractor and taken care of it. But since that was here and there's the policy and stuff. So the idea was is that, you know, we need to, you know, it needs to encourage people to go someplace else. Although, like I said, when I had my sewer go out, you know, I was really happy that, you know, he could come over here and within an hour's time, we took care of the problem.
Right.
And I did not intend for it to be used any longer than we absolutely needed to use it.
Well, if we want to leave the rates the same, I'm not opposed to that, but I want to delete that weekly rate and delete the operator to be negated.
What does that mean?
In other words, they decide who's going to drive it between the Carl. Oh, to be negated between authorized operator and rented, who's going to drive it? In other words, we can delete that.
Well, we can change
the.
I don't think we have to vote on the exact words of what's on the website right now. I think we need to just vote on.
Okay.
Content. John, do you agree, or do we have to do the exact words?
No, we don't do the exact words.
Okay. I really think we need to delete the weekly rate because that isn't.
I don't think you're
right.
Part of I think everybody agrees with that. How about Ken? Do you have any problem with what's your thoughts on the daily and hourly rate?
Well, at least make them 75% to 80% of what it would cost to go down to Creco.
So 75 and 300 a day?
There you go. What Greco is what for 8 hours? I think I paid over 600, I think, for a one-day use.
Well, anytime, you know, for that kind of stuff, there's also the issue that they're going to charge you a drop-off fee and a pickup fee. So if somebody has just 1 or 2 hours of work, that gets very expensive.
Mm-hmm. But if you need it for a week,
no,
that's
I know.
Not what it's
but I'm
for.
Saying if you need it for an hour.
Shelter,
yeah.
That difference an hour came up was for that particular purpose. If you only need a 1 hour, 2 hour job, I'm not going to sit there and pay $200 or above for an 8 hour time. That's where we came up early on. I don't know if it was back in 2012 or so. We came up with a $50 an hour amount.
Well, one thing I don't know, is this $50 an hour actually covering our costs for the use of the equipment? That's a very low cost because that does add wear and tear.
Right, the tires and everything.
Right, so it's. I really think knowing that the cost for any of the rental companies is about four times as much, I don't see a reason why we shouldn't increase it. It's least minimum for something that's junky, I found, was at least $100 an hour.
I would agree.
So I really think we need to increase these rates. They've been the same since we've got it. And to make sure that it at least covers our costs, we should increase it by 50% to 75 and 300.
I'm okay with that. I'm starting to think back on the policy we just approved and, you know, the emergency, you know, I'm thinking if somebody needs it for 1 hour,
I would have to pay to dig up that sewer pipe, stuff like that, the $100 would definitely be worth it to me.
No,
somebody
that's not
told me
what
it was
$100 saying.
To do that. I was like, oh, thank you. I'll take it.
I'm saying if you had something that wasn't an emergency, you know, maybe you had a berm that needed to be
removed. Yeah, like I had Carl come over and dig a trench for like
right.
a while.
If it was just an hour, it's not an emergency, but I guess I would propose that that's okay with me because it saves you from having to have something delivered.
Yeah, so if we can just limit it down to, you know, very short-term use. I mean,
not big projects.
Not big projects. I'm good with it. I just don't want it to wear out.
So
having it run around for, you know, 8 hours a day, you know, moving material is going to wear out.
Right.
What the hour usage is per year.
They actually have quite a bit of usage.
Because that, you know, that's how they gauge it on that, is the number of hours. Because, like, isn't an airplane like that? Isn't it?
So, I guess I'd like to amend the policy we just did.
So you want to rescind the previous motion?
Amend it. Well, let's just discuss before. So what I'd like to do is say, instead of just association matters and member emergencies, add another and member projects less than 3 hours or something. Or
probably less than a day.
Small member projects of less than a day.
Of a day or less.
Yeah, but is that less the day every other day of the week? See, it's getting. I agree. I don't have a problem at all.
That's why it's going to say project, because if he has a project that he's dividing into little pieces to make it comply, it's still a project.
Yeah.
And
no matter what we do, we're not going to be able to make it perfect. So it's going to be up to the board to decide if this is appropriate or not. But if it's emergency, I'm worried that's really gonna just, you know, that's.
Yeah, but you know, like you say, you know, I'd like to backfill some of the washout or something like that. It's not an emergency. Mm-hmm. You know,
but it's only a couple of hours.
Yeah, and if, you know, rather than pay $500 for, you know, 2 days worth of tractor work, if I could pay, you know, $200 to have it done, you know, and get it done, I'd be happy to do that. We just gotta keep the hours down on the tractor. Mm-hmm. The wear and tear down on the tractor.
Yeah. How about we leave it nebulous so that we don't have to... Yeah. And small member projects.
Yes.
Because otherwise,
mm-hmm.
somebody's going to come around and try to game the rule.
Yes.
You know, I'd call an emergency board meeting and present it and figure it out.
Yeah. Well, we can do that by email, too. It's, you know.
Can you put in the description of the usage, the concern of breakdowns due to above average or more than XYZ usage?
So we can make this so we can amend this to include and small member projects, and then in our rules we can define that.
Yeah, 3 hours or less or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That works because then we can, that puts it where it needs to be. Yeah.
In the rules instead of in our policy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So I move to amend the previous motion to include small member projects.
Second.
All in, or discussion?
Yes.
All in favor?
What, an hour time?
Yeah, what I'm suggesting is we do that in the rules and regulations.
Okay.
And we can vary those as we see how much usage we're getting to make sure we reserve enough with the association.
Yeah, keep in mind the whole new set of rules and regulations will be drafted as soon as the CCNRs are voted.
Yeah. So all in favor? Aye.
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 Motion carries.
Aye.
Okay, so I have two motions for the back call rental policy. Very good.
Good. Did we vote on the... We did vote on the dollars, didn't we?
No, we did not.
No, we have not. Yeah.
Okay, you want to make the motion? I like the 75 and 300.
Okay, I move that we increase our hourly rate on the backhoe from $50 per hour to $75 per hour, the daily rate from $200 a day to $300 a day, and we delete the weekly rate.
I second.
And leave gas.
No, the gas stays the same.
Yeah, leave gas the same.
And leave the gas the same.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Motion carries.
Just messing with them.
All right, that concludes our old business. Good job. All right, new business. So the next topic is new legislation effective August 2017.
Okay, it's 5:23. We're running short on time. I'll breeze through this as quick as I can. Voting in secret ballots, we do use the secret ballot methodology here, and we're going to implement a two-envelope system so that people aren't signing the outside of the envelope that's actually being mailed, including personal information on the envelope that's actually being mailed. Resale disclosure, there were management companies that were charging both a transfer fee, which by law is $400, and also a disclosure fee. A new law came out, but effective August, all the fees cannot be greater than $400. Adam is already in compliance with that. We do not charge a disclosure fee, neither does the association. Administrative complaint process, that now has to be filed with the Department of Fire, Building, and Life Safety rather than the Arizona legislature. It's just filed to a different... The jurisdiction changed. Open meetings, if they're being recorded, which we do, then homeowners need not record them. If they do, they have to give notice they're being recorded, and the board can say no because we're recording them. All notices of meetings must include the date, time, and place of meeting, and we're always in compliance with that. Notice of any annual, regular, special meetings must state the purpose which the meetings are called. We distribute agendas, so that's taken care of. Before entering in a closed portion of a meeting, we have to state the statute. We'll start doing that in August. I don't remember the statute off the top of my head. Emergency meetings can only be called for matters that cannot wait for 48 hours. The emergency meeting, the board may act only on emergency matters they can't expand. And finally, the state wants to reiterate that open meetings are everything that needs to be in an open meeting should be in an open meeting. That was it.
Okay. The next item was vandalism. And I know we had two instances of vandalism in the last couple of months. I don't know that I want to say specifics. I don't know.
Say specifics. I want to hear. I'd love to hear what they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
She does somebody come in.
I don't
in
mind saying specifics online.
Then we have three. If we're, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I had some vandalism a little while back. I decided not to report it to anybody. I almost called the police, but I decided not to. My solar system. Someone had opened up the box from the panels themselves, popped the plate out, went in and cut all the wires so I wasn't receiving any power from my panels, and then reassembled everything so it wouldn't look like anybody had done anything.
Did they cut the wires?
Somebody.
No,
what
no.
They were doing.
All they did was cut the wires. That's it.
Oh, wow.
All they did was, and then they actually put it all back together so it wouldn't look like anything was done. Mm-hmm.
you just weren't getting any power from.
Right. And
so we're running out of time.
Yeah.
So let's just summarize.
Okay. And what was the other?
I'm getting there. Okay. Pete or Ken, do you want to comment? You had one too, right?
I didn't have a vandal incident. We just had somebody go trouncing through our yard and turn on the hose and snare Sherry. And
that's vandalism.
And,
I mean,
that's illegal.
And at the same time, they turned on my water over here and shut it back off, but they used water from my hangar as well.
Well, you know, Memorial Day weekend, we had some come through.
No, I didn't.
You didn't see the helicopter buzzing over the houses?
Well, the helicopter's been working the road out here in the morning really early. Up for the last couple weeks.
This was about 11 o'clock at night, Memorial Day Eve. But Seth's known about it. They come down there. And I came out of the house thinking somebody's out there. And I hollered out, "Who is it? And what are you doing?" They said, "It's Border Patrol and gathering up whatever."
Yeah.
Huh.
But there was a group.
Yeah,
right.
the vandalism that, Bruce and May, well, actually, Bruce and May didn't have vandalism. They just had illegals run through there. And then we had, a single illegal run through here. Probably went by Jerry's first. Got some water here. It's probably hot or something like that. Beat a path down to my place. Got water down there. And then, dogs didn't even report it. And then I called Jerry. And Sherry called me, and I called Jerry. And he found Luke, and they both run over there. And the guy was gone by the time we got there. But about the same time, Ken had some stuff that, I think was more storm damage than anything else. But I'll let Ken talk to that.
Ken, do you want to comment?
Yeah. I got a call, a few weeks ago from Pat that all our garden boxes had been tipped over. Went all last year and it never happened. They're pretty heavy. However, now, the second time around, they went over a week or two ago, and Pete came over with Luke and got them straightened up. But they were pretty light. But the first time, I think it coincided with the illegals running through your area out there, Pete, and possibly Jerry's area too. I did file a sheriff's report. Sheriff said it was javelina. I said, okay. Probably two-legged javelina. There is water on that side of the home. It's funny that I was home all last year and none of that happened. I don't know. I mean, I have ideas, but I don't need a sheriff.
Well, we noticed two sheriffs.
I just
come in one day.
Hold on, Ken.
We're losing you.
I want if everybody knows what the castle doctrine is. If you start having problems with your own property, and you got some people that like to come in there and play common jokes on you, I don't know. I'm not there. I don't have eyes out there. I can't see. All I see is the evidence.
I guess what I would say is any vandalism should be reported, and I'd like that to go in the minutes, actually, that if anybody sees anything, no matter how small, just if anything, we'll get more attention from the police.
And also, I have the border patrol dispatch, because mm-hmm. one time a border patrol said, if you ever have a problem, call
yeah.
dispatch, because
right.
there are people out here.
All
so
the time,
if
yeah.
If you want that number, I can give
No, I have it.
Yeah, I think we all have it now.
Oh, good. Okay.
I know.
That's
like huge.
That's like somebody was aiming at you for something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jerry, yours is probably the worst we've seen there. Okay, we're going to move on because we still have a lot to do tonight. Low-flying aircraft. We finally... So maybe you guys have noticed, but there's been this airplane that's been going round and round almost every day, and he's doing these, like, high-performance climb maneuvers and doing all this stuff right over us and right over the surrounding areas. And in fact, John received an email from one of the neighbors thinking that it's one of us, but we figured it out today.
Tucson, Double Eagle.
Double Eagle. Yeah, yeah, we finally were able to get the numbers off
of
this.
Somebody was out this morning, and you could hear, and then you would hear...
They've been out there almost every day for weeks. So, and I couldn't understand, how is this guy flying every day, you know? But it turns out he's probably an instructor who's taking people out. And Mike went to the airplane to try to talk to him on the radio. He wasn't listening to the Unicom.
No, he was still on the Tucson frequency.
Yeah, so he wasn't even announcing himself in the pattern. He was flying right through the pattern. He was...
Today they did.
Was that you? I was going to try to catch up to him, but he left about the time I got airborne.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He did a low flyover the runway this morning, and then you took off.
Well,
I can fix this easy because
we already called. So let me finish.
We found
the numbers this morning, and so then Mike called up Double Eagle and said, "Hey, this is what's going on. You know, you got somebody who's flying this airplane and." He read them the riot act, you know, and they promised, it's somebody you know, I forget the name, but they promised to get back to us and let us know what's going on with that, and
I mean, what better place to do, you know, maneuvers with the runway below you, but I don't know, as you all
they should be doing it out there, they shouldn't be doing it right over the houses.
Not in the pattern, I mean.
Not in the pattern. The pattern, you're supposed to be at a certain altitude, you're supposed to...
Yeah, there's certain rules that they have to follow.
They weren't following it.
At the bare minimum, monitor the radio.
Yeah.
So you're in the pattern, the number? You have the wing number or the tail number or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What is it?
It was a Piper Arrow.
Oh, the Arrow.
Retractable.
Because you just look it up, right?
Well,
yeah. So we looked it up, looked at the owner.
Because there's only two people that fly that.
I was a C-23, that I knew.
So John, we'll write something up for you to send to that person who sent the email.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so that we can tie that off. But hopefully that's fixed, because that was really obnoxious.
Yeah, if I could be copied on whatever email, so I can forward that to him.
Yeah. Okay, next item is the annual meeting, and we should pick a date, because we need to start doing stuff towards that and figure out...
While you're looking at your calendars, last year we elected a nomination committee, which Wendy volunteered to lead, and that services all the way through the end of this annual meeting, so you are the nominee.
Yeah,
committee.
We were doing it wrong before, so now it's going to go through the annual meeting.
Annual meeting. So
and then
we need
get
to,
a new group.
Well, you elect somebody before the next upcoming annual meeting to serve for the next annual meeting. That's how it works.
Okay. All right, we'll see you.
So congratulations, you are the nominating committee. You have to appoint, you have to find two association members to help you out.
Don't we still use the same ones, or, no?
Did you appoint somebody?
Yeah, we had Fran DeFazio.
Fran, and who was the other one?
It was Madonna, but I don't think she's going to be
there. What is this committee for?
The nominating committee. Oh. Okay, if you're around Holly, if you want to do it. Okay, let's look at dates, and we could do it at my house, or we could do it here, whatever.
It's supposed to be the first Wednesday of each October, so the first Wednesday of October falls on what date?
The 11th.
But we usually was later than that.
Are you sure about that? Because there was an amendment to the...
Was there an amendment I missed?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe, I think it could be any day in October is my recollection, because we changed it to be Saturdays because we like Saturdays better. I'm thinking the 14th. How does everybody feel about that? It's too far away.
I'm just finding out when, because I've already bought tickets to go to Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have my calendar, so I don't recall anything being happening there.
If you do it on the 7th, I'll be here. But...
Oh.
Is the 14th a Saturday or something?
It's a Saturday. Yeah. You could do it on the 7th?
Yes. No.
Are you going to be here for sure?
Yes, I have tickets and I can't stay longer. I'm leaving on the 9th.
Oh, you're not here for long then?
Well, I come in on the 22nd, but then I'm going to Las Vegas and then California.
Okay, so...
But the 7th, I will be here.
14th? No. Candy, either the 7th or the 14th okay with you? We'll just keep those 2 days, and then Pete, when you get home... Okay. I don't think we need to vote on this, so...
No.
Okay. So we'll have 2 seats up for office, up for election this year. We'll have Jerry's seat and Glenn Ballard's old seat. So as soon as we figure out the date, I'll send something out asking for nominations. Okay, anything else on the annual meeting? John, you're okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I won't be here the 11th through the 17th.
So the 7th is good for you, right?
Who is the second person who's up?
Jerry and Glenn Ballard's seat.
Okay.
Why are you all wet?
Okay. So likely the 7th. That's looking like a good day. Then the other thing I wanted to say is that I'm going on vacation, and I'll be gone an unknown period of time. I'll do this really quickly. We're going to go see the eclipse in Oregon, and we're going to fly the 172, but then we're going to continue on. So from August, I'm leaving August 1st for my ladies' weekend for a week, and then we're going to do the trip up to Oregon, but then we're going to continue through Washington, and we're going to go up to Banff and Lake Louise and Chicago and Missouri and a few other places. So
up with your plane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, very excited
come
about
to Delaware.
That. You know, we've got a. It depends on how long before I get tired of the whole experience.
Yes.
I have a feeling I'll go 4 weeks and then I'll say, maybe that's enough, you know? But it may be too. We have enough places that we want to go see that it's 2 months, including Boston, where we have a friend. So,
yeah.
You know, never know.
Well, we have a hangar, I mean, that you can put your blade in Georgetown.
All right, that's all I have, and it's 5:39.
Okay.
I'm going to close. I move to adjourn the meeting. We will have a closed session. John, what are the topics for the closed session?
Oh, boy.
I am sorry. This is a new cup, and they're supposed to be...
They're so cute.
Do you want any more on this
and
side?
I'm all done weed spraying. I can't get even...
Holly just spilled ice water on John.
Ooh, I'm awake.
Sorry. Yeah, look at all this.
Now I know.
Did you bring them up?
No.
Because I have them off the floor and I'd really like
all
it.
All my little sippies.
It's just going to dry in 2 minutes.
a little bit of therapy.
Okay,
I'll be fine. I'll send you the psychiatrist bill.
Bye. Okay. So
Wendy made a motion to adjourn at 5:39.
But you were going to tell us the topics for the special for the executive session.
After we adjourn.
I thought we had to say the topics before, as in we're going to talk about collections or we're going to talk about.
Not until August.
Okay. So I moved to adjourn the meeting. It is 5:40.
Come here.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Close the door.
Aye.
Aye. Thank
you.
We're trying to get the dog corralled so we can close the door.
He's part of the executive session. Come on, Blue.
Need to come back in?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. All right. Go ahead, Ken.
What?
Oh, we should, we're going to hang up the phone. You want to just, I guess call my phone.